talk about our number 25 in our Baptists that everybody, I think, should know, 50 Baptists everybody should know. Let me start with a little story. Little could Reverend Cantlow realize the spiritual and historical significance of the baptismal service on May 3rd, 1850, when he immersed the teenager Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This teenager had walked 7 miles from his home to this service because he felt firmly convinced that the believer's baptism was an ordinance of the Lord. And who was this 15-year-old boy? Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born in 1830 to John Spurgeon and his wife. He was the first of 17 children. When he was a young teenager, probably because there were so many children, he went to live with his grandfather, James Spurgeon, who was also a preacher, a congregational minister. It's interesting that his father was a minister, his grandfather and his great-grandfather, all saved men and served the Lord their entire lives. But even with this great heritage, the young Spurgeon struggled for years with the assurance of his salvation. He just didn't think he was saved, and he struggled with that. One January Sunday in a fierce snowstorm, he couldn't make it to the church he was supposed to go to, so he slipped into a primitive Methodist church and sat in the back. The storm was so fierce that the scheduled preacher didn't even arrive to preach. A layman agreed to preach, and he chose for his text Isaiah 45:22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And in a few minutes, the preacher had exhausted his text, and he looked up and he saw the guilt-ridden face of the boy in the back, and he shouted to him. He said, "Young man, you're in trouble. You will always be miserable in life and miserable in death if you don't obey my text. Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look. And little could he know that the storm outside was nothing like the storm that was inside the young Spurgeon. And he was gloriously saved that morning as a boy of 15. The young Spurgeon was an unusual boy. His desire to serve the Lord was like nothing that we probably have read at that age. He actually wrote a covenant out to the Lord and signed it. And God gave unusual power and ability to this young man. Within a year, he was called to pastor. Think now, who are the ages of this boy. He was called to pastor a small Baptist church in Water Beach, England. The news of his ability to preach and to pastor spread quickly to London. In 1854, he was called to be the pastor of the New Park Street Chapel, where famous preachers had been for some time. And he was still a teen, but his fame was spread all across Great Britain, and soon he was addressing thousands of people every Lord's Day. Something we won't have a chance to talk about, but Spurgeon's humor and a little story that his mother said to him about that time. She said, "Charles, I often prayed the Lord would make you a Christian, but I never asked that you might become a Baptist." And in his typical humor, he replied, "Mother, the Lord has answered your prayer with his unusual bounty and given you exceedingly abundantly above what you asked or thought." And that's just an idea of his humor, just amazing humor. When you read his stories, quite the figure in London at that time in Great Britain, and his humor over and over carrying those thoughts. But within a year's time, this church needed to move to a larger building. In 2 years, they moved to Royal Surrey Gardens, which would be akin to like our Madison Square Garden, that type of a venue, seating 12,000 people. Since the days of Whitfield and Wesley, no preacher had ministered to such large audiences. And Spurgeon was 22 years of age, and the average attendance for those 3 years was over 10,000 each service. Imagine that. Just imagine what we're talking about here. This was in a day before amplification, before electronics, and his extraordinary voice was used of God to preach to audiences in excess of 20,000 at a time. His voice, of course, was not the secret to his amazing ministry, nor was his God-given brilliance. Spurgeon, from his earliest moments as a 15-year-old when he was newly saved, his desire was to be totally given over to the Lord. Also, his devotion for his Savior and his love for souls. This was the secret, if there was a secret. In 1861, when he was 26, his church moved to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, a new building they had built, and it opened in London. It was from here that he advanced the Gospels in ways that still amaze us. He started a Bible college that he called the Preacher's College, He trained thousands. He began an orphanage publishing enterprise, which publishes weekly sermons. His famous newsletter, which went out every month, The Sword and the Trowel, was actually known the world over. And all the while preaching up to 10 times a week to thousands of people. An amazing, amazing ministry. All the while, all his life, the Lord blessed that ministry greatly. In the 1880s, though, this was the most difficult period of his time, the last 10 years of his life. God was blessing his ministry on every side, but Satan, of course, does not stand idly by. And this last decade of his life was filled with extreme controversy as he took on the forces of modernism and apostasy in his own denomination. And his church belonged to an organization called the Baptist Union, which at one time was kind of like a denomination, like maybe let's say the American Baptist Convention or Southern Baptist Convention, and they were fundamental people, preached the Word of God, but as they began to slide and drift, Spurgeon, of course, did not sit by, and he wrote and he spoke about the many ways that these churches were drifting, and one of the most obvious ones to him was the fact that there were unsaved pastors in the pulpit. And he was vilified by the clergy in London. Even people outside the Baptists took him on because of what he was doing. And he pulled his church out of the Baptist Union, which was shocking at that time. And he was, in his own words, in opposition to almost everybody. This immense pressure took a toll on his health. And by the time he was 57 years old, his health was completely broken. He had struggled with gout for years, and he would winter in the south of France in Mentone. And before he left for the last time for France, he said, "The fight is killing me." And 3 months later, in October of 1891, he went home to be with the Lord at age 57. In a sermon he preached at the Tabernacle before he died, he spoke of his feelings about his funeral. And I thought this is interesting that he said, "You see my coffin." This is him speaking to his people. "You see my coffin carried to the silent grave. I should like every one of you, whether converted or not, to be constrained to say, he did earnestly urge us in plain and simple language not to put off the consideration of eternal things. He did entreat us to look to Christ. Now he is gone. Our blood is not at his door if we perish." And that really, he is saying that, but I think that there are very few men that can say what he said, and that is, their blood, if they perish, was not at his door. He did everything he could to reach the British people. Spurgeon left us with so much it's impossible to cover here. There are hundreds of volumes on his commentaries, lectures to his students, The Sword and the Trowel. You can still read that monthly newsletter. It is said his works have been read by 100 million people. I think that's probably an underestimate. And one book that I want to bring to you is his commentary on the Psalms called The Treasury of David. I would probably thought by many his most loved commentary on the book of Psalms. And this is an amazing work if you haven't. Most of you probably have read and studied this. But I would just recommend this to anybody who hasn't. This is actually one of the volumes. There are two or three this size. But his commentary on the Treasury of David, and I would just highly recommend that. It's available in our bookstore, of course, in our library, and an amazing work which will bless your heart and bless your soul as you read the Psalms. But a few years ago, I had the privilege to go to London. I don't know if it's probably not up there yet. It was up there. And many of you have probably. Pastor Peter Masters is the pastor today, and what a memory that I have there. And I say this to encourage you to save your quarter, save your money, and try to go to London. And among the other things in London, all the worldly things, there is just a wealth of Christian and Baptist heritage. One of the things to do is try to be there on a Sunday and attend the Metropolitan Tabernacle. We went a few years ago. We just happened to sit next to a lady, struck up a conversation with her, and found out she was a bus captain in the church. And I'll tell you about that. But there were probably 2,000 to 3,000 people in attendance, and we joined them after church. What they do is they have the morning service, they have their church service, their worship service in the morning, and then they have Sunday school in the afternoon. And what they do is the bus captains, not sure if that's what they call them, but they meet in the lower part of the building. They all bring their lunch. We ate lunch with them. And then they have an extensive van ministry across London as they bring the kids in for Sunday school. And what a blessing it was to be a part of that and just to be with them. Then they have an evening service. But I just would encourage you, if you ever have a chance, to try to go and attend a service there. God is still richly blessing that ministry. And it's a highlight maybe you'll never forget the rest of your life, I'd say, if you have a chance to go. But Spurgeon's importance and impact on the world cannot be overstated. He is said to have spoken to as many as 10 million people in his lifetime, and his ministry, of course, saw tens of thousands saved. And through the years, of course, his writings have blessed and edified countless Christians. And it's just an interesting thought to go back to the beginning of what I said, that God used a snowstorm to change a life that would in turn change the world. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for Charles Haddon Spurgeon.